Well, I do not have any idea where to start. There is so much running through my mind at this very moment about how great God is, all that God has in store. We are dawning in a new day, a day that the world has never seen. The world has never seen the church in total victory, but they're about to see a church that is on fire for their King and demonstrating His kingdom. His kingdom. His kingdom. We can look around the world and think there's a lot of problems, and there are. But I'm here to tell you, I know the one that has an answer, and He is the answer, and His answer is within you. Do you not know that you are the hope of His glory, of the revelation across the world comes from within you? Kingdom is not coming down, it is coming out. It's coming out all over the nations, all over the nations. Let me just start this evening by telling everyone, wherever I turn, you've been telling me that you have been praying for my wife, and I totally appreciate it. It has been a rough 3 months now. But my wife, Tuesday, we were at the doctor, at the surgeon who did the operation on her foot, and said, we expect a total healing on that foot. And so she is walking, and she just couldn't be here yet. But Lord willing, she has agreed we are going to a Florida conference, Southeast Conference, and she is going with me. We are driving so she can go. She can't fly yet, but she can drive. So that is what God does when you can believe. And I'm not going to get into that. I just wanted to share that. Thank you for praying. I know it was God who did the healing. Man can only do so much, and the doctors are still practicing, but my King and my God is a great healer, professional healer. Hallelujah. So thank you for praying. I got many emails and many letters, and I appreciate every one of them. I also want to start tonight by saying that we have to remember our founder, who is Brother Gerald Durstein. There is a book that he wrote, Following the Fire. I've read it many, many times. But in that book, there's a line that really, really has sunk deep into my heart and in your heart. And if he could have seen the flags and understood the vision that came to him, or God gave him a vision, that he would go to many nations and he would spread the gospel, and he was not thinking nations, he was thinking surviving on a mission field in Upper Minnesota. And he is there right now with his wife. They're doing conference there. But the reason I bring that up is this. We want to increase that vision. Global Christian Ministry Forum has a desire to go into every nation of the world where God will open that door. We had a visitor from Pakistan, a pastor. We have been writing to him. He has been around us, and I know he's invited many to come to Pakistan. Lord has to talk about that to me, speak into my ear on that one for this very moment. But I'm excited about tonight, about the changes that are happening, the direction that we're going. I believe that we are one of the channels that God is going to use to pour out His glory around the world. I have to believe that. I believe that God is looking for a people who will recognize what season we're in and what God is doing. I want to, in a moment, I want to speak tonight about eschatology. Do you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our mindset, what we picture the outcome of this world, what we picture God's plan for this world, makes a difference, because we're either going to sit on our blessed assurance and wait for Jesus to do something, or we are going to grow up to be the sons of God about our Father's business, on assignment in the kingdom of God. Are you on an assignment in the kingdom of God? I'm talking to leaders tonight, but every leader should be teaching his congregation there are no pew sitters, there's only ministers in the kingdom of God. There's a fivefold ministry, and that fivefold ministry is supposed to be equipping equipping, not doing the work. Equipping the ministers to go out into all the world. So on a Sunday when I'm a pastor, I'm an equipper. On Monday, I am a worker in the ministry as I go out in the streets and on the highways. And as I go to wherever I go, I'm a messenger of the good news of Jesus Christ. Anyhow, before I get into all of that, I would like to show you a small PowerPoint. We are putting this together. I want to show it for the first time on the screen. I want to show a PowerPoint where our ministry is going. It's some music behind it. Just read the words on it. But remember this phrase, to be a network of Christian ministers relating with honesty and leading with integrity. The last part of that has speaking parts on it. It is on our webpage. You can go on our webpage and you can download it. You can use it. You can put it on your computer. There's many speaking points. It's not the sermon. You write the sermon. But the speaking points of leadership for your countries, people of integrity. The world's going to take notice of men and women who will walk in integrity and with honesty, with open relationships with each other, not hiding behind ideas, but being open in relationships. Amen? And we want to be a people of integrity. Anyhow, I want to move on tonight with our entire weekend we'll be speaking about a new day dawning, about the light of Jesus, the glory of God. Well, before I do that, I have to take this opportunity to ask Ted to stand with his team that has worked so hard to put all this together. I just want them to stand, and we want to show our appreciation that they have taken this convocation here in Canada, the first convocation that we've done outside of the U.S. And so I would like all his team. Now, I know he didn't do this by himself. I know better than that. So where are you hiding? Come on, everybody that has been working to put it together, come on. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you for your effort. Thank you so much for all your work. Thank you for all of you that come and be a part of this convocation, a new day dawning. And I want to appreciate each and every one of you. You see, we are working together, linking together to work for our Heavenly Father. We are serving the Lord. We are serving the Lord. And it is exciting to be serving the Lord with you. Spoke with the presbyters today. We're going to give you an advance notice that I don't have the whole dates, I forgot them, but it's about the same time. It's June next year. We're going to be at Holmes County back in Ohio at Pastor Larry Hesmeyer's church for 2016. This time, 2016. Now, I've got a dream. This is to be for the nations. We believe in this idea that international is for the nations. I have a desire, Lord willing, 2017 convocation will be in Ghana, Africa. How we're going to arrange all that, I'm going to leave that up to Ted. I'm going to leave that up to Brother Ebenezer. I want you to begin to pray about it, not whether you should go, but pray about how you're going to go. And begin to remember, those 2 years will come around in a hurry. But we hope, God willing, We will be in 2017, in the month of June, we will be celebrating convocation. Can you imagine not only the impact it would have on our ministers that are going there, but how much we could impact the area that we go into? Somehow, we were thinking about putting together a flight meeting somewhere either in Toronto or JFK. Everybody fly into that airport, that we would have enough of people to be able to charter a plane to Ghana. I remember being in a conference where someone said, "You don't think big enough." Well, we'll have to see how that all works. Okay, new day dawning. If I could describe what I'm feeling, the Holy Spirit saying to me is that we are on a launching pad, ready to be launched into a new era, in a new season, into a new time. God is not finished with the body of Christ. We look at the church, we find all kinds of faults with the church. I have to look at that, but I'm telling you, the body of Christ is not weak. Neither is it wanting anything. We have everything that pertaineth to life already given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. We have been called, we have been chosen. You have made a decision because you're here. You have made a decision to obey the voice of God in your life. And I want you to know that you are equipped for every work that He's called you to do. You are lacking nothing. We do not need to be petitioning in heaven for more power. Listen, we have all the power we need. We are, our problem is that we're struggling with the understanding of our authority. Who are we in the kingdom of God? Are we people who have just learned about Jesus, or are we a people that are full of that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead and now dwells within your body? Do you not know that you have all your sins forgiven? They're blotted out. There's nothing the enemy has to attack your life because you've been forgiven. I'm not giving you a license tonight to sin. I am telling you, you have been set free for the Father's use. Do you know, listen, you're not a servant of God anymore. You are a son of God who is serving the Heavenly Father. You are a son. You have been born into the family of God. That same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus is now living inside of you, and He has ordered us. He said, "It is needful that I go back to heaven, that the Holy Spirit might come and fill your life," and you are here as an ambassador of heaven on planet Earth, and planet Earth has a lot of problems, and He's saying to the church, "Arise, there's a new day dawning, and you are about to be launched into an era that has never happened before." I believe that the world is about to go through the greatest awakening it has ever seen from the foundation of the earth before the return of Christ. Now, I want to talk about eschatology, and I'm not going to get into a lot of different doctrines, and I'm not going to get into a lot of different scriptures. There is only one of two ideas I want you to think about tonight. So if you will forget about everything else that we're trying to teach, or everything else about how the end of the world is going to come and all of the things that we've been taught, listen, from Pentecost to charismatic, all kinds of things beyond that, let's look at this one issue tonight. And if I can convince you, and if I can show you in Scripture tonight that God wants the body of Christ to be successful in advancing the kingdom of God that is coming to earth as it is in heaven, we will go forth in might and power and in strength, and there is no power in hell or on earth that can stop us. But we have to be convinced that God has called us to do it. We have to have a new mindset. We have to be awakened into the time we are. The condition that is in the earth is there, not because of our politicians. Another election will not change anything in America or or Canada. Our hope is not in our politician. Our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and His kingdom and His glory. He doesn't have a plan B. His plan was to fill humanity with Himself. Amen. He sent His Son to die for our sin. He blotted out your sin. Amen. He set you free from every judgment that was against you. He says, "I have done this for all your..." Oh, I got it. Well, I'll get to that scripture. Eschatology, it refers to the study of end times. The doctrine of last or final things as death, judgment, and the... Judgment as death and judgment. There are two distinct viewpoints. Number one, it is called a negative eschatology, or it is called a victorious eschatology. Negative eschatology believes that the world is gradually slipping under the influence of wicked leaders, and eventually Satan will take control of the economy systems of the world. That Satan will take control of the world. Victorious eschatology teaches that Jesus Christ and his church are going to reign over the world, not Satan. Now that's where I'm going to stop before I make everyone angry at me. I'm not going to touch pet peeves here tonight. That's not why I'm here. What I believe is important. What I believe is that we have to believe that Jesus wants each one of us to be an overcomer. We've got to be an overcomer. First, we have to overcome our own fleshly nature. And then we have to overcome our thought life. Our meditation. Are we watching all the news stations and seeing everything that's going wrong and all the evil that's out there? Or are we turning into the scriptures and finding out what God is saying about this answer? What is God calling us to do? I want to turn tonight in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. You know, I get excited when I start to speak about these things because there's something deep inside of me that wants to stand up and scream at the top of my lungs, Satan, I had enough. I had enough. I had enough. I have the promises of God and I've had enough. Chapter 9, verse 6 says this. And this is the prophet Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Whose shoulders? He's talking about Jesus. He says, there's a son going to be born, and I'm going to put the government upon his shoulders. He goes on to say, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hear what the prophet Isaiah is saying in this next verse and let it sink into your heart. It says, of the increase of his government, the government of the kingdom of God, the government of the kingdom of God, there will never, ever be an end to it. There will never, ever be an end to the kingdom of God coming to earth. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. This isn't the Lord's prayer. This is the prayer he told us to learn how to pray with all our hearts. Thy kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. You know you're not of this earth anymore. You're of heaven. You're under the rule of King Jesus. He goes on to say, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah was prophesying of something that was going to happen in the future. John the Baptist came, and he was prophesying that the Messiah has come. Amen? His prophecy was that the Messiah was coming. Jesus makes a very interesting statement in the scriptures. He says, among men born of woman, John the Baptist is the greatest. Now, he wasn't talking about the person, John, the person. He was talking about the message that he was carrying. Isaiah was prophesying something that was about to happen. John was prophesying that the Messiah is here. And so his message was the greatest message that was prophesied. Then he goes on to make a statement and says, and the one that the least of the one who enters into the kingdom of God is greater than John. He didn't say the greatest that is in the kingdom of God. He said the least of these is greater than John the Baptist. Now, if you didn't ever wonder about that, I certainly did, because the scripture is telling me that because we have entered into a king, into a kingdom that is from heaven, we have entered into some, into an arena and into a calling, and we are carrying a message that can never stop, never cease. It doesn't matter what Satan has done in the past to destroy the messenger or the messengers of the kingdom of God in the Roman Empire. They put them in the lion's den. They did all kinds of things to try to stop the message of the kingdom of God. They burned them at stakes. They crucified them upside down. They stoned them to death. Satan threw everything he could throw at them, and he could not stop the message of the kingdom of God. Why do we think he can do it today? I hear so much talk as I travel around the country, how bad things are getting. And I tell you, I could point a lot of places and show you how bad things are getting. But let me give you a reality check. We look back to the time of Jesus and we say, well, you know, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved at one time. We think it was the good old days. Well, I think Apostle Paul would argue with you. He was beaten when he preached the gospel. How many here are being beaten for the gospel? He was shipwrecked. Oh, but God wouldn't let that happen. Well, it happened. He says it happened. How often I was shipwrecked. How often I was beaten. I was stoned and left for dead because he preached the gospel. Oh, but those were the good old days. Well, I'm here to tell you, things have changed from that time on. 3,000 years ago, when Jesus was on the earth, do you know how many, when they were looking for Jesus, how many boys died, were murdered, babies, infants were killed by government to try to get Jesus? Because of jealousy, because of the message that was being preached in prophecy. How you had to be careful when you went into the synagogue. The religious people who didn't want to hear the new message would kill the prophets. They killed the prophets. It wasn't a good time to be living. It wasn't the good old days. The apostles all suffered for the message they carried. It cost them their lives when they wanted to preach the gospel. I see the kingdom of God is spreading. Do I think all the problems of our world are solved? No, I do not. But I know where the hope of the gospel lies. It lies within you, and it lies within me, and it lies within the call that God has placed in our life, the anointing that he's placed on your life, the power that's released in you, the place of authority. He died for my sins. It is no longer I that liveth, but it is Christ who liveth in me, and I am seated on the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. This is an empty body. I want you to know, if you can receive it, it is Christ that lives in you. It is Holy Spirit that lives within you. It is his holy presence that is in you. It is his presence you take in the highways. It is his presence that you take into the hospital. It is his presence you take into the store. It is the power of the living God that is residing inside of you. You are the hope of his glory. He has invested and planted in humanity all that we need to conquer this world and to kick Satan off of planet Earth if we only begin to think victorious. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Let me turn to the scripture that I think is so fitting for this convocation. In chapter 60 of Isaiah, the prophet again is speaking. He says, arise and shine. You didn't hear that. Arise and shine, for your light has come. You say, well, he's talking about Jesus. Whoa, hang on a minute. Jesus says, do you not know that you are the light of the world? Come on. You are the light of the world. This light is shining inside of you. We lack nothing. Listen, he says, I have given you everything that pertaineth to life. He did not withhold anything. He gave you that same spirit that Jesus did, everything that he did. Jesus came to earth and he was born in a manger. He was born in a physical body like you and I have. And he did the miracles that he did. Listen to me. Don't get angry. Just pay attention. He did those miracles as a man full of the Holy Ghost. So that he was an example for you and me. My eldest brother, your eldest brother, who we are a part of his family, his name is Jesus, and he is the king of... Who are the other kings? Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Listen. Look at your neighbor right now. Look at the one sitting next to you. And know that God has made them kings and priests unto himself. And Jesus is our superior king over the kinghood. What am I trying to say to you? I'm trying to build some confidence inside of you. You know, there's a major difference between arrogance and confidence. Arrogance, God can't stand. Because that makes me think I can do anything in my own ability, that I am so gifted that I don't need anyone. Well, that's arrogance. Confidence is knowing what the Father, through Jesus Christ, has done for you and me, and I have confidence in who he is, his prophecy, his promises, and his word. Now, I believe in my heart that God has prepared us as the body of Christ in 2015 all over the world, in every nation of this world. There is a people that God is raising up to begin to link together and to declare that Jesus Christ is the king of this earth, not other nations, not other kings, not Satan. Oh, Satan, if he has us on the run, stop running and face him and declare the word of the Lord. You are a liar and a deceiver, and there is no power in you. He overcame him. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. Sounds dreadful. Sounds like he was prophesying about Canada, the United States, the UK, every other nation. Gross darkness upon the people. Oh, they just don't want... You know, I got to tell you this story. There was a man that had a business. He worked for a big shoe company. And as he worked in this shoe company, he was a salesman. And all of a sudden, this company said, look, we have not hit the market of Africa. So he sends the salesman full of suitcases of shoes to go over to Africa and said, now go over and sell those shoes, open up the markets in Africa. Well, it is only a matter of about 2 or 3 weeks that this man is in Africa trying to sell shoes in these villages. He sends an email back, or that time it was a letter, but email back, and he says to his boss, he says, forget it. He said, there's nobody over here that wears shoes. They're used to running barefooted. This is a worst place I could have come to sell shoes. So he ends up discouraged, brings his shoes back, hadn't sold any shoes. Nobody needs shoes in Africa, and he comes home. About 6 months later, the man says, I believe we can sell shoes in Africa. So he sends over another salesman, and he sends him over with a suitcase full of shoes, and within 2 days, he got a telegram saying, send more shoes! Nobody's got any over here! Your perspective matters. When you see an impossibility, Do you shrink back and say, oh, me, oh, my? Or do you say, oh, this is what God was talking about. This is the possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. When you see somebody that is in a desperate situation, do you say, that's hopeless? Or do you say, what an opportunity for the light to shine? What an opportunity for the message of the kingdom of God to go forth in power and in strength. Let me tell you, we all want to go back to the times that the church was established in the book of Acts. And I'm telling you, if Paul was alive today, he would say, what an opportunity today to be preaching the gospel with signs and wonders following their word and their ministry. I'm telling you, the world is about to see a church that is really on fire with the Holy Spirit. They're ready to see that God is willing to do signs and wonders as we begin to preach and as we reach out. As we go into other countries, wherever God is calling you, it doesn't matter how dark or how it looks. I'm telling you, the next scripture gives the answers for the darkness on the earth and the gross darkness on the people. He's saying, but my light, my Holy Spirit has come upon you. It has come upon you, and I am sending you where no one else will go, but you will go and be victorious. Your ministry can be victorious. It will be victorious because God is for you. He's not against you. When we live a life that God has called us to live and has called us to do ministry and whatever He has given you to do, it can be accomplished no matter how difficult. Look, don't say, I don't have. Because I'm telling you, God can multiply. He can speak a word out of nothing and produce all that you need. All that you need. The problem is not with God's power or with His authority or His willingness. Our situation is that we are a people, even as Christians, full of doubt. It wouldn't be so bad if I just doubted my own gifts. And it wouldn't be so bad if I doubted my own abilities or my own talents. But I got a problem. Even if I'm doubting those things, the Bible says, where you are weak, there I will be strong for you. And the weakest part of God is much stronger than my strongest part. I am trying to get you to see that God has invested so much in you. You have wisdom from the Word of God. You have understanding from the Word of God. You have faith that is built from the Word of God. God is saying to the church, be launched into my kingdom, be launched into the areas of ministry. His light has come upon you and has come upon me. We have to begin to believe, yes, but I tried and it didn't work. Then get up and try it again. Then get up and let's try again. All right, shake off the doubt. Tell Satan he's a liar. Tell yourself you made a mistake. It's okay. He already forgave you for it. Hello? I'll tell you. Yeah, that's right. He's called you. You can do all things that God instructs you to do. Well, I would rebuke that clock, but it's not the clock's fault. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Oh, he's talking about Jesus. Listen, he is. He's talking about Jesus. But where does Jesus dwell? Know you not that you are the temple? You are the dwelling place that he dwells. Listen, let's be very honest with ourselves tonight. Anything that Satan wants to do on earth, he does through who? Humanity. He doesn't use the tree. He doesn't use grass. He doesn't use those things. He uses humanity. When we hear on the news of someone going in and killing 9 people in a Bible study just because of the color of their skin, that's not God. That is a spirit of Satan working. It's a spirit of murder. Okay, let's just call it for what it is. It is Satan being manifested through somebody's life. It is the father of lies and the father of Satan working through somebody. Somebody say amen. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with me. But I'm telling you, it's a truth. And I want you to know that if when God wants to accomplish a great revival, a great move of God, he will use whoever that will yield themselves, because he works the same way. We are in a battle against the father of lies and the king of kings and the lord of lords. We are standing on the victorious side, but we have to begin to think that Satan is not going to rule this world. God is awakening the church. We are dawning in a new day. The light of Jesus has come upon your life and has come upon my life, and he's called us as the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven on planet earth. And we say, well, when we go to heaven, listen, he doesn't need you in heaven right now. The work is to be done here. There are souls that need saved. Do we care that thousands of souls are going to hell each day? Do we care that the gospel needs to be preached? Miracles. There is somebody somewhere in this world that is crying out to God in behalf of God to do a miracle in his life. And God's got to find somebody that will hear what he's saying so he can send them there to do the miracle. But God, you could just do it if you want to. Listen, the Bible says that he has given the earth to the sons of men. He wants to work through your life. He wants to heal some sick. There was a story, and I probably have said it, but I'm saying it again. You didn't hear it the first time, so you'll hear it this time. I remember that I was over in Kenya, and we were working in Kenya, and I met this woman in a little mud hut, dirt floor. She was so, don't get offended, but she was so black I couldn't even see her in the corner. She was sitting in that corner, and I was talking to her husband about her nephew. And I was saying that he needed to be working, or he needed to be in school, not to sit idly by and do nothing. And his uncle said, well, no one will hire him. Now, I didn't have any money, and we were building a children's home. And then I said to him, okay, whatever is fair, whatever a day's wages is for a Kenya young man like this, I will pay his salary, but he will work on that. He's not going to sit idly by. He's going to do that. And then I said, what about school? And they said, well, he doesn't have the money to go to school. Well, when school starts, I'll find someone to pay his schooling. And I didn't even realize this woman was sitting behind me in the dark corner. She lets out this squeal and this scream. And this cry, I thought I sat on her or something. And anyhow, I look around, and here's this old lady, and that's not a slang, by the way. It was an old lady sitting in the corner of that hut, and she said, I said, what happened? What's going on? She said, let me tell you a story. This parents of this boy, they died of AIDS, and there was this money that came from the government, from the United States or from Canada, one of the governments was sending money for the AIDS students so they could get education. We have applied through the government. It was our only hope was the Kenya government and for this money. And we applied, and every year we got turned down, and there is no education for him, and he is going to die in this village never getting out of poverty because the government wouldn't help them, and they lost confidence in the government. She said, I have been walking to the church for the last couple months, and I have been crying out and pleading with God, God, somehow send some finances to send this young man to school. He heard my cry. I know there's a God in heaven, because he woke a white man up, and he traveled 7,000 miles to come and answer that prayer, because only God knew the prayer. Can you see? Somebody is crying out, and you have what God wants to give them and that God wants to do in their lives, but he's looking for the vessel who says, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, put me in that nation. Here I am, I want to serve you. I believe in your authority. I believe I have power to be a victorious person in ministry wherever you send me. Now I know you believe this. I know you believe this. And I'm not saying everyone needs to go to another country. Somebody's got to stay home. Because everyone that I'm talking to that's from Africa would have to go to the U.S. or Canada. And that's not what I'm saying. But every one of you have a call on your life, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Every one of you has had a word from the Lord. I don't mean anything by this. This is not a slap in anyone's face, or I'm not belittling this. But I'm telling you, if you have a famous prophet come, and he says, if you'd like to have a word from the Lord, you just come down here, and I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to give you a word from the Lord. I'm not saying that that shouldn't happen, but this is what I'm saying. There's so much word inside of you that you have not yet acted on, but you are not agreeing with the Holy Spirit on the message. And so you're looking for another word because you refuse to obey the first one you got. And God's not going to give you another word until you get up and be obedient to the word that he's already given you and that you fulfill the call that he's already called you to. God is in the business. He doesn't have a second chance or a second plan for your life. He already gave you a plan. He gave you a ministry. Well, brother, you don't know my ministry. Well, I know it can be tough because I've been in some tough ones, but God called you to persevere, press in, fight for it. The violence shall take it by force. And I'm not talking about shooting someone. Take your ministry. You see, I believe in something. I'm going to need two individuals to run up here real quick. I believe. I want you to open that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, this is touching. Amen.
I believe that we need to have an appeal to heaven. And that appeal is for the greatest awakening that has ever come to the world. I know that it is what God wants to do. I know that he's calling us as an appeal to heaven. Now, what am I saying is this. Don't pray for revival if you personally don't want to be revived. But Lord, revive my neighbor. He really needs it. He left his dog do his thing on my yard. He needs revival. I'm going to meddle, okay? I'm going home in a couple days. God, revive my husband. He is a real heathen. That's not quite as funny as the first one. Listen to me. If we can't live in the kingdom of God in our home, if we can't begin to obey God's word in our homes, in our fellowships, how can we begin to be obedient and conquer other people's worlds? We must first demonstrate that we know how to walk in integrity and in obedience to God's voice. We must learn to be a people of holiness, for he is holy. I'm not talking about dress. I'm not talking about not wearing earrings or any of that. I'm not talking about any of that nonsense. I'm talking about we are keeping the commandments of God, not because there's a law, because we've been set free from the law. We are keeping those commandments because I am so in love with my King Jesus. I do not want to offend him or hurt his reputation. Because I am called a Christian. I am called a Christian. I am Christ-like. When you look at me, you see Christ in me. It is the hope of glory. I am a demonstration of the kingdom of God on planet Earth. Come on, somebody listen to me tonight. God is calling to us to be awakened, and we are to appeal to heaven. We are to cry out to heaven, and we are to repent from our sins of whatever it is. And I'm not saying we're all sinners. He will blot them out. But listen, don't get the mindset that you're not forgiven. You're forgiven. If you're forgiven, there's nothing standing in your way. How many of you know that the blood of Jesus blotted out all the handwriting against you? You are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Satan has nothing to condemn you to with the Father, because the blood of Jesus is covering you. The blood of Jesus has set you free. I'm appealing to heaven. Father, put revival into my heart. Father, give me the nations for my inheritance. Father, move by your Spirit through me. Send me as your ambassador. Send me, oh, send me to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Send me. And you say, okay, God, lead me. Listen, I'm gonna offend you real bad right now. But listen to me. You can't get offended if you're gonna be obedient to the Scripture. But I want to tell you, we look at the Holy Spirit like putting a ring through our nose and leading us with a rope. Oh, God, do you want me to put this pair of pants on today? Get real. Just put a pair of pants on. Don't get mad at me, because here's what's happening. God has commissioned us. I see someone that is sick and suffering on the sidewalk. God, do you really want me to pray for them? Is it your will to heal them? Show me in the Bible where he says, I don't want to heal anyone. Show me in the Bible where I don't want to spread encouragement and strength to someone. Show me where it says, don't love your neighbor by baking a cake for them. Well, what if I bake the cake? Hey, all you can lose is a cake. The only thing you can lose when you lay hands on someone, if you don't think anything's going to happen, is your reputation. And if you will lose your reputation, his will go forth through you. Thank you. We need to have an appeal to heaven. We need to begin to cry out to God, here am I, send me. We need to be able to look and to see what needs to be done in the kingdom of God. You're here. You're not a servant of God anymore. You're a son of God serving the God, serving your Father. I serve my Father because I love him, not because I have to, not because I'm a slave any longer. I am a son. Do you know you're a son? Do you know that that same Spirit that raised Christ? Do you know that Jesus is your eldest brother? Do you know he paid for your sins? Jesus died and he suffered those things on the cross of Calvary so you and I could be in the same condition that Jesus is in. We are Christians. Wow. What is your eschatology? That God has commissioned us to begin to present the glory of God over the entire earth, that every nation on the earth will see the love of the Father, the glory, the manifested presence of Jesus. My friend, if you're waiting for Jesus to return so this can happen, you have waited too long, because he has commissioned us and also called us, and he sent us forth. Even before he left this earth, he said to the disciples, and listen, I want to give you just some, will you give me 5 more minutes? Just real quick, I want you to hear, got to go back here, that's, just to hear this scripture, or hear this. We think it's getting so bad, but what we don't really realize is that there's so many people living on planet Earth more than ever. Do you know that the world has never seen as many people living on planet Earth as there is today? This is statistics. I know we're struggling as pastors. We're struggling because we think people don't want to hear the truth and the message. They don't want to hear a watered down message. They don't want to, they want it to be real. They want to see a real God and a real King ruling and overcoming sin and overcoming sickness and overcoming what we claim. They want to see this. The number of Christians around the world has nearly quadrupled in the last 100 years, from about 600 million in 1910. To more than 2.3 billion as of 2011, representing 33% of the world's population. We don't hear this on the news, and we don't hear this on some of the television stations where we're even listening to Christian programs. The world is getting so bad that God has no other choice than to destroy it. Listen to this. When the Spirit was poured out on the early church, 3,000 people were saved in one day. That was amazing back then. It was a huge number. However, today, approximately 3,000 people get saved somewhere in the world every 54 minutes. If we listen to the lies of Satan, it's hopeless. Give up and quit and wait till Jesus comes back. That's on our minds. I remember the day it hit me. I remember when I began to think, nobody wants to hear the word of God anymore. All they want to do is play games in church. They want to be entertained. That's not true. But they don't want to be lied to. God's word cannot be compromised. We have to stand on the truth. We have to be full of power and anointing. If I could, and I'm not going to do this, I'm going to close with this. But I want you to really picture this in your mind. If I could turn out every light in this auditorium, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face with all the lights out because we're closed in. It would become gross darkness. Amen? I got in a bad situation one time in a mountain. It was cloudy, no moon, no stars out. My flashlight went dead. I had my son along. We were, whether you like it or not, we were hunting. And he was walking behind me, and I couldn't see where to walk. Walked into a tree that was there. I couldn't see the tree. It was so dark. I finally heard water run. And I knew that the water on that mountain ran down to a road. But I couldn't even walk without walking into a tree. So I was pushing through like this with my hand to get down. And I got into, it was not a very deep water, but I got in the water so I could walk the creek without walking into a tree. It was so dark. My son, who was following me, behind me, could not see me. He would walk into me, so he reached out and he put his hand in my belt loops around my belt to hold on to my belt so he wouldn't walk into me, nor would he walk into something else. It was so dark. That's gross darkness. That's gross darkness. If I turned the lights out in here and it was that dark that you couldn't move your hand and you couldn't see no difference in your light, that's the gross darkness that it talks about. But then he goes on to make the statement. He said, but the light has come on you. It's coming over you. Do you know what happens in a place that is so dark? If I took out my cell phone and hit that one light, tell me, does the darkness swallow the light, or does the light cause the darkness to be removed and swallow it up? Now, take for granted in here it was that way. In fact, last night in our motel, I don't know what happened, but all the lights went out and their backup system didn't come up. It was in I'm not giving them a bad name. It was just something that happened. But their backup system didn't come up and it was dark. You know what I saw? Immediately, you heard a couple of, okay, then after that was finished, first thing I thought about, I hope nobody's in the elevators, but I'm sure there was. Somebody was in that elevator. But what I saw is a fulfillment of this prophecy. Immediately, people everywhere were pulling out cell phones and snapping on their lights in there, and it lit up the whole lobby of the motel. Now, where did the darkness go? Where did the darkness? Your light will swallow up the darkness of this world. The very plan of God was that Jesus would die, pay for it, so we could receive it, so we could be cleansed, so he could send the Holy Spirit into your life and let that light shine. And you say, well, I'm only one person. Well, that's exactly right. God's plan was not to use one man, or he would have just used his son Jesus and it would have all been finished. But his plan was that he would come, he would pay for the price, and then he would establish his kingdom, his order, and his rule on planet earth, and he would impart his spirit into each one. That's why he said, go and wait till you're endued with power on high. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And it was at that time, in that season, that the lights started getting turned off all over the Middle East. And I'm here to tell you that from year to year, to fulfill the scripture of Isaiah, that there shall never be an end of his kingdom. They tried everything. Satan could do everything. He tried everything he knew. All power that he had, he used to stamp out that light. And I'm telling you, it's getting brighter, and it's getting brighter, and it's getting brighter, and he has no place to run. Let's keep pushing. Let's keep driving it. Let's keep speaking the word of God. Let's be full of the Holy Spirit. Don't hide your light under a bushel there. Thank you. Thank you. I used to sing that as a kid all the time. Hide your light under a bush. Oh, no, I'm going to let this little light shine. Shine it all over. Well, I came from a small town, and we used to small. I'm going to shine it all over town. We learned it. Now let's live it. Let's live it. Thank you, brother. Amen. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but it's late. Thank you for being so patient. I've got a lot of things off my chest tonight. I'm telling you, I want to live this. I want to live this all over the world. I want you to live this. Listen, I want you to live this. I don't know what God's called you to do. I don't know what God's called you to do, but I want you to live this. Listen, I don't know how old you are. It doesn't make any difference. It makes no difference. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. I want you to do what God has called you to do. I want you to let your light shine. I want you to take whatever, if it's such a small thing, do not despise small beginning. If God called you to, and I'm not going to name them or you're going to think I think it's unimportant, but maybe in your church he's called you to be an usher. I'm telling you, be a dancing usher in the presence of God. Be joyful in your heart. With all of your heart. Everything that you do, do it as unto the Lord. With zeal and with excitement. Let the Christ in you. My, the world needs you to let the Christ out. All over the world. And as those lights got turned on in that area that we were in, there was no need for the power to come back on. Except if you were in the elevator. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? We have, what was it, 9 nations represented here. Can you imagine? Can you imagine 9 nations having that much light turned on that Satan can't bring one person into the bondages of drugs or alcohol or any of those things? That the power of the Holy Spirit and the power and the light would expose all the sin, and people would begin to repent and to cry out. Do you know that I believe that the world is about to see a transformation of nations, not just of a city, not just of a town, but of nations? Because it isn't all about the prophet. It isn't about all the apostles. I believe in all those things. I believe, listen to me, it is the ordinary, everyday believer in Jesus Christ. When he becomes on fire, when he believes the word of God, when he lets the power of the Holy Spirit released in his life, I believe it is that individual that will change the culture of nations. When you and I begin to say, I don't need a 5-fold ministry calling. I am called of King Jesus to take my community, to take my city, to take my family, to take my school. I don't care what the law says you can't. God says you can. God says we can. God says we can. God empowered us to. We just have to tell Satan he's a liar. Many years ago, I wasn't feeling well, and I'd been in the hospital. I was sent home and told not to do a whole lot for a couple days to see what happens, get my strength back. And I was sitting in my living room looking out the window, watching some cars go past. And when you get word like that, sometimes if you're not careful, you can get depressed. And I'm saying, God, you know, you did a lot in my life. If you took me home right now, I'd have nothing to complain about. You've been so good to me. If it's all over now, God, I'm not complaining. You've taken me places and you had me do things. The call that you put in my life, I never dreamed I would do those things. Oh, you've been so good to me. And I was sitting there meditating on this. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke. And he said to me, very clear, and it has changed my life. He said to me these words, I will not do for you what I have equipped for you to do. I will only do the things that I haven't equipped you to do yet. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot. So, you know, God has equipped you to bind Satan? Hello? He has equipped you to bind Satan. He's equipped you to say to Satan, you're a liar. You're the father of lies. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I believe the word of God. Here's what the word of God says. Here's what the word of God says. And I begin to do that. I had to do some things. I know I had to do some things, and God was showing me that. And listen to me. He's going to make you take some responsibility because you're a son. You want to walk in authority, then you're going to have responsibility. There's going to be some accountability in your life. When you're called, you're going to be accountable for that calling. There's a day that pastors are going to stand before God and give an account for the sheep that were in their church. Somebody say amen. Pastors, say amen. You know it's in the Word. I have to give an account for how I lived and the things that I've done. There is an accountability. But I want to tell you, there's also on the same token, there's a reward ceremony for the sons of God. There's a reward for those who diligently sought Him, those who were obedient to His voice. There is a benefit to be ministering to the Lord. Do not forget all His benefits. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He would never say there's a reward if there was no reward. He's not a liar. There is a reward for being about your Father's business. There's a reward for denying the flesh and following the Spirit. There is a reward. There is also a reward to you who follow the flesh and not the Spirit. It's not a good one. I'm saying to you, arise and shine, for your light has come and a new day is dawning. God is calling to the body of Christ to arise, stand on your feet, declare the word of God, and do not compromise, because the word of God will offend those who are not walking in the will of the Lord. Now, I don't try to offend people. I really don't. I don't think I do. If I offended you, you have to forgive me. That's what the Bible says. No, I love you. I am trying to encourage you, because in you and in you and in you and in you is God's desire for His glory. Inside of you, He didn't know where else to go. He didn't know how else to do it. His plan has no plan B. He purchased you with the precious gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. He shed His blood so He could buy you and call you and put His Spirit inside of you. He's put His Spirit inside of you. He's put His Spirit inside of every believer who calls the name of Jesus. Oh, we want to sit them down for the next 25 years so they can be members of our churches. I'm telling you, I think it's time that we teach them how to go into the highways and the byways. There are no pew sitters. There are only those with ministries in the kingdom of God. He called you to a ministry. Let's take your place. And I'm telling you, listen, Listen, come. Just stand with me for a minute. Just see what is happening here. If we'll link hands together, if we'll say, I'll do my little part. It may only be doing a little part, but I'm going to take hands, and I'm going to be a part of this, and we're going to link together, and we're going to cover this nation. We're going to cover our nations. We're going to believe together that God has commissioned us, and God has called us, and God has empowered us, and God has given us authority over the death, hell, and the grave. He is victorious. We are victorious. We are the winners. I have read Revelations, and we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Satan, you are defeated. We're notifying you. You will not conquer our land. You will not conquer our communities. You will not take our children. You will not take our churches. We are fighting back in the name of Jesus Christ, for the light of Jesus has come into our lives and into our hearts. Give a shout to him. Hallelujah! I don't know if we have a musician in the house or not, but I have it. It's been ringing in my heart. I want to hail him as my king. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. Do we know that one? We can sing that. Oh, we got musicians, do we? King
Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star, and throughout eternity,
when I think what it cost him to get me to the place so he could wash away all the handwriting against me, so I could come into the very holiest of holies in the presence of my Father, what it cost him, what it has cost me to do it, is nothing. He, perfect Son of God, took his sin on me, died on the cross. Stripes were for my healing. And now he has set me free to serve him. He has given me his authority. I am now. You are now. You are a son of your heavenly Father. You are a son. So I want to say to you, rise in the name of Jesus. Let faith arise in you. Go and do what he's called you to do. Look around, see where the needs are. And reach out in the name of your Messiah, Jesus. And say, in the name of Jesus, be delivered. Oh, but they might have a demon. Then cast him out. It's part of your right. It's a part of your privilege. It's a part of your who you are. Your DNA is the DNA of the Father. The DNA of God. The Creator, who spoke a word and made something out of nothing. You don't think so? Look in the mirror. He has made something out of you. He has made you the answer to the world's problems because you're carrying the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I've got to quit. I love Jesus. And I love you. And I don't want you to miss a thing that God has for you. I don't want the liar, Satan, to bring another day of discouragement in your life. I don't want you to again ever say, I can't. I can't fulfill that. I can't do that. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not called enough. I don't know how much gifting I ever needed to do anything. All I know is that I said, Lord, here I am. If you can make something out of this nothing, then help yourself to it. And I give myself to you. And whatever takes place from here, I will not take any credit because it is you. It is your responsibility. Here I am, God. If you want me, I am yours. And I want to tell you, He blotted out every sin I had, and He filled me with the Holy Spirit, and He took this country pumpkin boy, and he began to put a word inside. I'll never forget the first time I stood up to preach a message. I didn't know what to say, what to do, and before I got behind the pulpit, I said, God, help me. Here I am. You said you'd speak for me if I obeyed you, and I preached a sermon. And if you remember what Brother Gerald would tell you, I remember when he said it to me in IOM school. He said, brother, you're the worst you're ever going to be. You're only going to get better from here. The only way you can get worse if you refuse to do something. And I know that you're doing something for God. I know that you're called. It's like preaching to the choir. But I'm telling you, we have not yet seen the things that God wants to accomplish in the earth completed. I've got a funny suspicion that maybe, just maybe, those who bind Satan and cast him into that pit could be the body of Christ. The body of Christ. He can't find another place to hide. We're not running from him. We're running at him. And we're turning on our lights and declaring his truth.